Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die, and you will have a window in your head. Your mind will be punched in a card and put away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world. Take all that you have and be poor. These are some of the lines that open Wendell Berry's poem, Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. It's a poem that I carried with me in my pocket through much of my 20s, and even now reciting those lines can feel their rebellious energy. There's something great about a manifesto. It calls us to new action and offers us a vision for a different world. I'm kind of a sucker for them. I'd never really thought of it that way, but the other day, after a trip to Fletcher Library, I returned home with a newly published manifesto in my hands, and my wife, Emily, said, "You love a manifesto." And it's true. Even for all of the harm that manifestos have done through history and the many dashed hopes and unrealized dreams that they so often portray, there's a kind of energy to this genre that helps us understand that we don't need to acquiesce to the status quo, that there is hope for a new world, even in the midst of this one. Now, in the first century, the genre of manifesto had not quite been invented yet. But I think that the gospel genre comes pretty close. The very first gospel ever written was the Gospel of Mark. And in its very first chapter, we hear Jesus proclaim these words in a sermon. Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust the good news. Imagine those peasants, those young fishermen, hearing that word in the midst of the Roman occupation, the kind of excitement they would have felt. That manifesto energy also permeates all of the other gospels and Jesus' work of healing all the way through his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But then they crucified him. All of their hopes were dashed, and the status quo reasserted itself with a vengeance. In our gospel reading today, we find the disciples with their hopes unraveled and fear in their hearts. They are behind locked doors. Even as there are rumors of the resurrection, they are still clearly afraid. And it is into that place of fear that Jesus comes. Jesus comes into that claustrophobic space offering a new reality. He does so through two gifts. Jesus gives the disciples peace and breath. Now, the peace that Jesus offers them is not the kind of individual peace of a personal calm. In the Greek, the peace, my peace I give to you, is the plural you. My Greek professor in seminary said it's the y'all. It's the peace be with y'all. And in that peace, Jesus is calling on that long tradition in the Hebrew scriptures of shalom, this overwhelming, life-changing, community-shaking peace. That's the kind of peace that Jesus is offering. But how do they live into it? How do they embody this peace? Jesus then gives them the power to do so through the holy breath of God. Spirit and breath are the same word in Greek. So when Jesus breathes on him, he is giving them a source of new and radical life. It's a way that they can join with him, living into the power of the resurrection. We begin to see how that power became manifest in the world in our reading from Acts 4. It's there that the disciples, who were so afraid just a little while earlier in our gospel, are now proclaiming the bold message of Christ's resurrection to those very same authorities who crucified him. And now they are also creating a new and different kind of community, one that makes sure that no one who has need is without what they need. It's a community in which everyone is willing to give of any excesses that they have so that the community as a whole can be made peaceful and well. In Windlebury's poem, he ends with some wonderful lines. There's the one about investing in the millennium, planting sequoias. That's a great one. But the very last line, Windlebury says, practice resurrection. Practicing resurrection is what those disciples and the church in Acts were doing. And practicing resurrection is the reality that we see throughout the Christian centuries as disciples learned to breathe deeply from God's Spirit and live into a different way. Now, we now continue to live in the promise of that practice. But in order to have it, we too must receive those original gifts. That holistic peace that God is offering that will create new communities of belonging in which all are valued and any need is met. But the way that we live into that isn't through following some abstract rule or discipline. Instead, it's living through the power of God's holy breath that works in us and allows us to enter into this resurrection life. Living into the Spirit of God is the work of prayer. It's taking time away from the regular rush of life and breathing deeply, listening to what God is offering us, and living forth into the world from that power. Ours is a world full of fear and frenzy. It's a world that so often is filled with death and decay and chaos, and it is in need of resurrection, the new life that God is offering. So our invitation is to join in that original conspiracy of God, that time when people came together to breathe deeply the life that God was offering and then reflect that resurrection into the world. The revolution is not over, and now is our time to join it. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and the Father, the Son, he is worshipped and glorified, and has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.